good to see you tonight. Glad that you're here. And some who weren't able to be out this morning were feeling better and able to be here this evening. I'm glad for that and thankful to the Lord that He's blessed us with an opportunity like this to now in the quiet of the evening to meditate upon His Word, to consider some truths that He has revealed to us that will help us become more like Jesus. It may be that you're here tonight and you don't really know much about Jesus. Perhaps you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and been saved from your sins. We talked about that some this morning. There's a way of salvation. There's a way that's right. It's the way that Jesus has revealed to us and that He's made available to us, and that He has given His life on the cross, a sinless man who sacrificed Himself for sinners, for me and you, that we might in turn have freedom from our sin, that we might be saved from our sin, that we might have deliverance from the bondage of death, that we might no longer fear death, but have a song that looks into eternity, as we just sang about together. And so if you're not a Christian, we want you to understand that there's a blessing that God provides and it is available to you that you've not yet experienced in your life. It is a way of life. It is a drastic change from the way of the world. It's a way that leads to eternal life. And we want to encourage that for you in your life. It's a decision that each person must make, a decision of faith to obey the will of God to be saved from our sins. That's why Jesus, as we studied this morning, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, that is the Son of God, you'll die in your sins." We must have faith that He's the Son of God. But that faith causes us to confess that faith before men. And He'll confess us before His Father, Matthew 10:32. We must repent of our sins if we're going to be saved from the wages of sin, which is death. Unless we repent, we will perish because of our sin. God commands us to repent, to change our heart, change our thinking about our sin so as to now serve God, to be baptized into Christ so that the blood of the Son will wash our sins away. That action of faith on our part, the trust that He will do what He said and He will forgive us when we obey Him and are baptized into Him. To then live faithfully. And if sin is in our lives, our need to repent as God's people is imperative, because we too can fall away from the living God. And so, if we find sin in our lives tonight, as we study about meekness as Christians, then God calls upon us to repent, to change our mind, to seek His forgiveness, and to recommit ourselves in diligent faith to add this quality to our lives. And that's our study as we discuss this evening, is building our character to conform to the image of Jesus. And the passage in Psalm 37 read it for us. My tongue's getting ahead of my thinker. See, that gets you in trouble. Wes read that passage for us, and it hopefully occurs to us that what he is describing there, what David is depicting for us, is the meek person. Because after all, he talks about the meek inheriting the land or the earth in verse 11. Jesus quoted that in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But look at the qualities of meekness that we're going to be discussing tonight. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently in Him. Meekness will have a quality about it of patient waiting on the Lord, a patient consideration of the Lord's will instead of myself. When I am not meek, it means that I have gotten out ahead of God. Like my tongue got out ahead of my thinker. See, we have to wait on the Lord and understand that He will by and by correct everything that's sin and error, every abuse and oppression. And so, as a result, verse 8, cease being angry. Stop being angry and forsake wrath. We're not going to be meek people if we hold anger in our hearts. If we refuse to give up that abiding frustration that grows into just
anger and even outbursts of wrath.
Meekness, because it trusts in God to take care of things by and by and to rely upon His will and way, releases anger. Cease it. Don't fret, because it only causes harm. You see, when we are meek, as we're going to study through our lesson tonight, then we will work more diligently at not fretting, not having a distracting care of anxiety that turns our attention away from God in our lives. Now look, he says evildoers are going to be cut off. So we have to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will inherit the earth. You see the parallel thinking? Waiting on the Lord, inheriting the earth. Meek, inheriting the earth. You see? So, when we start talking about meekness, we begin to build a context, a frame of reference, to see that it is a quality of disposition of trusting God and being calm in our soul and not being driven by anger, but a disposition that controls that and instead does the good and shows a gentleness in conduct from a disposition of meekness. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions about meekness, and we want to define it correctly, because after all, it is the character of Christ that we've been talking about in this series in Colossians 3. Remember in verse 10 it says we're to be renewed in the image of Him who created Him. As we put on the new man and putting on this new person, this new creature in Christ, we put on a heart of meekness in verse 12. Some versions will use humility or gentleness, but it's a distinct word from those, and it is a distinct word that we're going to be discussing this evening that Jesus used of Himself. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." We begin to see a combination, a linking of meekness with lowliness of mind. So that it begins to develop and teach us about a disposition of heart. Paul talked about the gentleness, or about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10 and in verse 1 when he is urging the Corinthians in their response to the gospel. He said, "I myself, Paul myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." Now, in fact, those were the allegations made against Paul. But he says that's not consistent with meekness and gentleness. The meekness and gentleness of Christ has a lowliness and a boldness that is appropriate. They were trying to distort Paul's approach to them and Paul's character toward them. He says, "I'm appealing to you, I'm pleading to you from a context, from a position of the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, a disposition of meekness and a conduct or a practice of gentleness." So when we talk about meekness, I want us to think and realize we're talking about a spirit of mind, a disposition or condition of the mind. It's again linked to lowliness in Ephesians 4:1-2. Now, meekness is not weakness. One of the misconceptions is that if somebody is meek, then he's that, you know, just that little mouse over here, and he's just so weak and has no strength. That's not weakness. I'm sorry, that's not meekness. In what we're studying, what the Bible says. So we don't want to confuse that and think that in some way what God is wanting us to do is develop a character that is weak. Now, meekness is not cowardice either. Now, while on the one hand, meekness may display itself in a calm spirit, that's not to be confused with weakness, so also meekness does not respond in an outburst of wrath or anger that sometimes people may confuse as cowardice, which is not cowardice at all. And we need to understand that. That if we have meekness, it doesn't mean that we're cowardly. It means rather that we are controlling and maintaining a disposition of spirit that is respecting of God, calm and deliberate within the given context. Meekness is not indecisiveness either. Again, we may have, and people around us may have a concept that if somebody's meek, it's just they can never make a decision. No, that's not the Bible context at all. In fact, the person who is meek makes a very clear decisions. Makes a clear decision, as in Psalm 31, to wait on the Lord. Makes a clear decision to cease anger and put away wrath. Makes a clear decision to be patient and gentle in disposition. So this is very important as we want to add this to our life, that meekness, by definition, is a disposition, a condition of mind and a heart. It's one that displays a soothing quality, a gentle attitude of spiritual poise and strength. Rather than meekness being weak, it is having the strength of faith under control, controlling ourselves and our spirit, so that then a spirit of gentleness can be practiced. Galatians 6 and verse 1, for instance. We'll come back to this verse, but it's used there in that context in this way. When it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Jesus, see with me in that verse that the spirit of gentleness corresponds to someone who is spiritual. What we're talking about here is an attribute of spiritual maturing and maturity. Gentleness or meekness is a quality that we develop and that we grow into and bear a fruit that we bear as we are putting Christ on, as we're developing, you see, our faith in God, our waiting patiently upon Him, putting away anger and wrath. So it is an attitude of heart. Now look specifically at some things about it. Being humble and being kind in demeanor that calms another person's anger. That's what being meek is about. When someone is angry at you, do you respond with a disposition of heart that is in control, and in control in such a way that provides an opportunity, whether taken or not, but provides an opportunity to calm the situation? Or, when someone gets upset and angry at us, do we respond in such a way that we inflame it? When that happens, we fail to be meek. We fail on that. We've sinned in that respect. And I think every one of us can look back in our lives and see there's times when we were not meek. This is one of those attributes, one of those thoughts and things that I'm not sure we think about all that much. But we need to think a lot about it, because the more I'm studying here and studying again for this lesson, the more I'm impressed with how crucial meekness is, this disposition is, to maintaining not only good relations with God, but good relations with one another. And we'll get to that momentarily. I want you to turn with me, for instance, to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3 and in verse 12. You might say, well, that's an odd place to turn, but it talks about meekness there in the context of the God's holy mountain, God's kingdom. And it says in verse 12, and God is speaking to His people, I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. They shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Here is God's assurance of the safety and security in His kingdom, but He describes the inhabitants of His kingdom as a meek and humble people who trust God. Now see, here's the key to developing meekness within ourselves. When somebody is angry at us, we maintain a disposition of calmness, because we put our faith not in
some prideful response that's going to overwhelm our opponent, but a trust in God
to wait patiently and to display the attitudes that will calm the situation rather than inflame the situation. Meekness. A soothing quality of the strength of faith. Let's go a little bit further. Meekness will produce gentle conduct in response. See, here's the nuance of difference. If I understand it correctly, if I don't, and point it out to me, I'll be glad to receive it from you. I think the point of distinction that the Scriptures talk about in terms of meekness and gentleness is meekness is the quality of attitude, it's the condition of heart, of this calmness, this dependency upon God and not self. And that then is going to cause a gentle response, a gentle reaction. It says, help to restore one in a spirit of gentleness. Because you see, there's an attitude of heart of a strength of faith that then treats one in a gentle way. So meekness produces gentle conduct.
Now we'll get back to some applications of that and look on. Meekness is the ability to take unkind remarks with good nature.
In other words, when someone speaks ill of you, to be able to receive that in the right spirit, to maintain a godly reaction. It's a quality of gentleness. When, for instance, embroiled in controversy, to be able to discuss that controversy without losing our temper. You see, that is a quality of meekness. Go with me to Numbers 12. Let's think about this a minute. In a situation of controversy and you're being accused, how do you respond? What is our reaction? It says here that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now they accuse him. They are speaking against Moses because he married this Cushite or Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard. They began to question the authority, the place of service that God had given to Moses. He said, "Well, God speaks through us too." Now, why in verse 3 do you think it says, parenthetically, "Now the man Moses was very humble," or meek, the American Standard translates that word. Moses was very meek, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Is it not because in that very moment when they are accusing him, his brother and his sister are speaking against him because he married this woman from Ethiopia, that he does not respond in kind. He holds his temper. He responds with good nature. And God rebukes Miriam and Aaron in that situation. We'll come back to it a little bit more as well. You see, how was Moses able to do that? I think part of it was because, you see, meekness is not occupied with itself. He was a humble man. He was a meek man. His spirit was such that he didn't think so highly of himself. So that when somebody criticized him or spoke against him, that he took that as this personal affront, and boy, he's going to turn and he's going to lambast. See, no, instead he responded with meekness. He stayed in control. He trusted the Lord. He, as for his part, from all that we can see here, really God is the one that we read off speaking here. Moses says nothing. If he said anything, it's clearly that he didn't incite or inflame the situation. So again, I say, how do we respond when someone speaks against us? Do we take it as, well, they're challenging me and they have no right to do that? I plead guilty. I've sinned that way at times. Ask the Lord to forgive me. We need strength to be meek. You see, because without the ability to be meek, then rather than solve a controversy, we make it worse.
Yeah.
Bottom line, we make it worse. And we cannot justify ourselves after making it worse that it was somebody else's fault when we were not meek in the situation. We contributed to it as well. So it begins with looking at ourselves, doesn't it?
Meekness, the ability to take the unkind and even the controversy and hold our temper in such a way as to help try to calm the situation. So meekness is the balanced combination of strength and gentleness.
You see in Galatians 5 and 23, there is an association there between meekness and self-control. It says gentleness or meekness, depending on the translation of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and self-control. That's no accident. You see, meekness really is that attribute of a controlled spirit. It is like the horse that is controlled by the reins. That great and mighty beast is brought under control by the rein and so reacts to it to be a positive power rather than a destructive one. It is the stability of spirit that God wants us to have within ourselves. Without it, our strength is not directed in the right way, because you see, rather than putting our faith in the Lord, we start trusting in ourselves. And we start elevating ourselves over one another. And rather than solving problems, helping situations, we, in fact, help make them worse. Meekness. Now, let's think for a minute about meekness toward God. The Bible talks about us being meek toward God. It is the same basic thing that we've been discussing, is a disposition of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing and resisting. We don't fight against God. For instance, God says that a meek and quiet spirit is, in His sight, a precious thing. Now, the context of that is 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, of a woman who is submissive to her husband. In an age where the world says that's just discriminatory against women and that's just a wrong-headed view of equality, the Bible teaches us that, in fact, as husbands and wives treat each other in the respectful ways that God has ordained, and the wife is submissive to her husband, as the church is to Christ, that she adorns herself with a gentle and quiet spirit. That is a meek and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. This is the hidden person of the heart. You see, verse 4.
In our approach, he said, or more specifically, he says, in the wife's approach to her husband, she is to have such a disposition that she does not fight against him.
To do that is to not be meek. And here's a woman whose husband was not a Christian. And she was to be meek. She was to adorn herself with meekness and quiet spirits.
See, God values that. Now, if God values that in a wife toward her husband, how much more then does He value that in the attitudes we're to have toward Him as well? Because you see, that just illustrates that whatever circumstance we find ourselves in our lives, we are to be meek toward God about it.
Paul had seen great visions, great revelations. God had blessed him to see things that he couldn't even speak about. 2 Corinthians 12. So great were the visions that Paul had been blessed to see. But he was given a thorn in the flesh. it says a messenger of Satan, he said, a reminder lest he would be exalted above measure because of revelations. So he said, I pleaded to the Lord to remove this thorn in the flesh. And I did it. I pled with him, he says, three times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul, what did Paul do? He didn't keep arguing against God. But with a spirit of meekness, he said, I'm going to trust God. There's a benefit I can gain even in this thorn, even in this trial. When I'm weak in the flesh, I'm strong in Christ. So in his meekness, he gained strength because he had the right attitude toward God in that situation. Now what we see is true in God, in this attitude toward God, we can make an application and will in just a minute in our treatment toward one another. See, that Paul's meekness on display really gives us an illustration of what God expects of us. You see, going back to Moses, why was he the meekest man on the face of the earth? Because he completely and totally relied upon God, not himself. And he didn't rely on, you know, he could have said, now, wait a minute, Aaron and Miriam, I'm the lawgiver. God sent me to Egypt, and through me sent the plagues. And I led the people by the hand of God out of Egypt. And I walked with God on the mountain, spoke with God on the mountain. God gave me the law. He didn't say any of those things. That wouldn't have been meek. That wouldn't have been meek. You know what reminds me of? Now, you political wonks might remember this, but about sometime earlier this year, politicians got together in Washington to talk about the health care plan and all that. Had the senators and the representatives and the president and some of his cabinet members there. You know what the president said? I think he said it to John McCain. He said, now remember, Senator McCain, I won. You lost. That's not meekness. That's not meekness. You see, we can have those same attitudes toward God. We can raise our fist to God. And we can expect God to do things our way. And why am I where I am? Well, because you made decisions in your life to put you where you are. And sometimes things beyond your control, you're where you are. But what are you going to do with it? What choices will you make now? Will you be meek and direct your faith heavenward? Or respond in a combative, angry way? See, God expects us to be meek toward Him. If we're not meek toward Him, how are we going to respond in faith and receive His blessing? It's going to be impossible, isn't it? So let's go a little bit further. God expects us to be meek toward one another. Titus 3 and verse 2 says, be gentle, showing all humility to all men. The word gentle is our same word, translated meek. Meekness. Be meek, showing humility. Again, that lowliness of mind is a companion to the gentleness that we're to show to all people, to everyone. And remember, some people, when you're meek in the God-defined way, some people are going to say you're weak. Some people may say you're a coward. Some people may even say you're indecisive. But when we have the kind of meekness that Jesus lived and His apostles displayed and taught, then we'll be conforming ourselves to the image of Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate. Let's go to some points. You see, as a spouse toward my mate, I need to be meek. And you do too. We all do. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Now, as we saw in 1 Peter 3, the wife who adorns herself with a gentle or meek and quiet spirit is of great value to God. And so she is submissive to her husband rather than combative against him. Even so now, he says, it's fitting in the Lord. If a wife refuses to have a gentle spirit, a meekness, a disposition that soothes and calms and trusts God, then she will not take kindly to the leadership of her husband, to his being the head of over her. She will fight against the roles God has given and contribute to disharmony and division and contention in the home.
Remember the Proverbs that talk about the contentious woman? It's not hard to see that the contentious woman is not a meek woman.
She's not displaying a disposition of spirit that seeks to calm and soothe and strengthen. The same way, the husband who does not love his wife like Christ loved the church ultimately is loving himself rather than her. And that's not meek. It takes a strength of character to act in the best interests of your wife, husbands, instead of becoming bitter at times. Let's face it, those temptations exist in both directions. The temptation for the wife is to not be submissive to her husband. And the temptation to the husband is to become bitter toward his wife. And God is telling us meekness will help solve both those problems. That's what it means about being gentle and showing humility to all men. We want, you see, here's the application of what we talked before. Meekness will be a demeanor that calms another's anger. Sometimes a husband gets angry at his wife. Sometimes a wife gets angry at her husband. Meekness will help calm the situation, not inflame it. The ability to take that which is unkind and not make it worse. A balanced combination of strength and of gentleness. We need it in our marriages. I mean, why is there so much divorce, if not in part because we have not developed gentleness and meekness toward one another? As a parent, we need meekness. Stay in Colossians with me. It's important because, you see, this is the context in which the apostle has taught us to put on Christ, put on this new man and be in the image of Christ, verse 10 and then 12, to put on this heart of meekness. And now he makes the applications to the relationships. First of the husband-wife and now children and parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So as a child, you need meekness to obey your parents. To not disposition does not fight against the leadership of your parents to lead you in righteousness, meekness. And parents, to display a disposition of calmness when your children have you on the brink and are just about to frustrate you so much. Meekness. It's not easy. And again, I confess, I have sinned. Meekness. We have to develop that and keep that. Again, as a child and as a parent. And if we will, we're going to be becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's our aim. That's our objective. Now, as an employee, here he talks about slave, but the principle exists. You need to be meek when you're working for somebody else. They may not always expect you to do things the way that you would do them, but there's no sin involved. It's just that's the way the boss wants you to do it. What attitude do you have? What disposition? Meek or combative? Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men. And knowing that the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. He who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done. And there's no partiality. You see, if we're working for somebody, we need to have a meek and gentle spirit that obeys our boss, our employer, as if we're obeying Jesus. Because after all, he says, you serve the Lord when you're on the job. You see how if we refuse to be meek and a responsible, diligent worker, that we're really failing in our task of being meek toward God. Because God's the one who told us to be an obedient worker. We need to look at our attitudes, our dispositions on the job as an employer. Meekness will serve you well. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You see, the meek person knows that there's a master in heaven. Like Moses knew his master was in heaven. And he spoke face to face with him. And in fact, that enabled this meek disposition to be maintained. Because Moses knew the relationship he had with God was one of fellowship as he yielded himself to God's will. As an employer, we need to be just and fair. We need to be meek, not either oppressive or just condescending. But you see, that again displays something that is not meek. Meek toward all people. Well, let's, in the final few minutes, see with me that in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, the Word of God says that we are to, as a man of God, flee these things. He's talking about fleeing the love of money. Flee materialism and covetousness. But pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Pursue gentleness. Or again, that's our word, meekness. Same word that you translated meekness. We're to pursue it. That means we're to run after it. Chase after it. To seize it. For yourself. Here's some very real reasons why we should do that. Because it gives a present blessing to you in your life. When the Bible talks about the meek shall inherit the earth or the land, it's stated within the Old Testament context of the law of Moses and God telling Israel, if you will be faithful to me, I will bless you with the abundance of the land. In the book of Deuteronomy, that extensively that is described, that by their faithful dependency upon God and their obedience to His will, they would get the fullness, the abundance of the land. That's what He's talking about. Now, Jesus uses that in a context in Matthew 5:5, and He talks about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, in the kingdom, is waiting patiently on God and being blessed. We have present blessings in Christ. All spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3. But only if we choose to pursue meekness. If we don't pursue meekness, we pursue selfishness and a lack of self-control, then we'll not be blessed. We'll have hardship. We'll face the consequences of that choice. And it will take us into eternity in punishment for our sins. But I want you to look out. Also, we pursue meekness when we're trying to help somebody who's been overtaken by sin. Someone who's fallen into sin. We referred to this earlier, Galatians 6:1. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. The meek person not only looks outward to the need of the one overtaken by sin, but also in trying to help, looks to themselves and understands they too can be overtaken. They too can fall. And so approaches with the goal of restoring, not ridiculing. You see, when we are not meek towards somebody who has been overtaken by sin, then our goal, unfortunately, sometimes can is or maybe it's not even, maybe we don't mean it to be our goal, but what can happen is we end up coming off as with a superior air to somebody rather than an understanding or a meek disposition that displays a seeking, a desire to reconcile, to restore the one who's been overtaken by sin. 1 Corinthians 4, look at this with me. 1 Corinthians 4 and 21. Maybe we can see some of this here. When the Corinthians, they were sinning. There was some sin there. And Paul's been rebuking them about that. And yet he says, "What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod?" That is, with a chastisement, with a punishment, "or in love and a spirit of gentleness." Now he is instructing them so that they will repent themselves, so that he does not have to come with this rod of chastisement. He says, "Shall I come instead with love and a spirit of meekness?" It would depend upon them. But he says, you see, his goal was their restoration. If we don't have meekness, invariably, in trying to talk to somebody about their sin, we end up, we come off sounding like we're superior. And that will not serve us well in trying to save the lost. It just won't. Meekness is a disposition of spirit that will show itself in a conduct of gentleness. Now that does not imply weakness. Meekness is very direct about what sin is and what it's doing. It's very clear about what the transgression is and what you need to do to correct it. See, but with meekness, we're in a position, we position ourselves best to try to help restore the fallen. When we teach the gospel, we need meekness. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. We just have to understand as teachers that everybody is along the line somewhere and we're not all in the same place. And so we have to keep a disposition of gentleness, of meekness, to help everyone along to grow in Christ. "The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle or meek toward all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition." And again, the word humility in 25, the American Standard translates meekness, because it's our word, prates, the Greek word, meekness. Now look at that. He says, gentle, patient, humble. Here's this disposition of stability of spirit, of lowliness of mind, that will take this opportunity to try to correct someone who is in sin. They're opposing themselves. They may not even know it. But if we come with a bombastic attitude, with a conceited attitude, rather than gentleness, we will not effectively teach. In fact, we will condemn ourselves in the process. We've got to pursue meekness when we're teaching the gospel. When we're receiving the Word of God, we need meekness. Whenever we are reading God's Word or someone is teaching God's Word, we need a disposition of heart of meekness. Look at James 1, 21. He says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." We're not a disposition, as we talked about a minute ago, that accepts God's dealings with us as good. If we don't have an attitude that says, "God's word is good, God's word is right, and I will receive it," we're not being meek. And we won't receive it. We'll fight against it. We'll find our excuses. We'll point to somebody else instead of addressing sin within ourselves. We've got to be meek to receive God's Word. We need meekness when we're answering questions about our hope. 1 Peter 3, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, being ready always to give answer or defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." Meekness keeps you in a position of the strength of faith. Answer with meekness, answer with reverence. Demonstrate by your answer and how you answer that your faith is in God.
not in yourself, but in the Word of God. And that's going to serve you well and help others who are willing to be meek, receive God's Word. I really believe the more we reflect upon meekness, we can really see why is it people don't receive the Word of God. In part, they're not meek. They want to fight against God. What about you? Are you fighting against God? Are you resisting His Word? Come meek. Low is just seek the Lord in humility and in meekness. Zephaniah 2:3 talks about seeking God in meekness. And we need to grow in heavenly wisdom. James 3:13-18. Meekness is an attribute of the wisdom that's from above. And all these things, meekness is a virtue. It's a quality, as Barclay said, by which we treat all men with perfect courtesy. We do that? You doing that? Treat everybody with perfect courtesy? That we can rebuke without rancor. Have we achieved that plateau? That we can give God rebuke, but not do it in a rancorous spirit? That we can face the truth without resentment? When God's Word exposes my sin or your sin, do we get resentful at it? If so, we've not yet arrived at meekness, have we? Meekness is that we can be angry and sin not, that we can be gentle and yet not weak. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is meek. If we're going to conform to His image, we must be meek. Strength of faith that is under control and directed in such a way as to calm rather than to incite, to infuse respect and peace rather than agitation and controversy. A spirit, a demeanor that's going to enable us to use the opportunities at our disposal to help one another become more and more like Jesus, to be saved from sin, to overcome a transgression, to instruct in the Word of God, and so to show Christ to the world. If you need to respond to His call, His gospel call, be saved. Understand Christ is gentle. And as a Savior, He offers you the escape from sin. He will return one day as a judge, and He will punish our transgressions. So He calls upon you now to make Him your Lord, to understand who He is, that He's Christ, Son of God. To confess your faith and repent of your sin. To develop and keep a meek heart and a meek life that will take the Word of God and live it and be patient to do His will. If you'll repent, be baptized into Christ, He'll save you. Then, if you're a Christian and there's sin in your life, He urges us to repent. If we'll do that, we'll pray His forgiveness and we'll stand in fellowship with Him. And we can grow and be more and more like Jesus every day. Won't you come all together this time and sing?